James Version of the Bible. So if you will, bear with me. For those of you who can, please stand as we read this into your hearing. For the Bible says in Mark 8 chapter, the 36th verse, familiar reading, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation of him, the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Say amen to God's word. We want to preach to you this morning from a subject, gaining the whole world and losing your own soul. Good to see you, Doc. See the baby over there, Evidence. Congratulations to you both. Good to see you, my dear sister. God bless you. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for being with us this morning. You do our hearts good to see you. And many of you who have been away and out for any period of time, God bless you. We offer our condolences to the Harris family and to others who are dealing with things of life. Gaining the whole world and losing your own soul. These two major contrasts is presented here in the most simplest form, gaining and losing.
Yes, yes.
This morning, my brothers and sisters, the reality is, what is it in life that you value that you can gain? What is it in life that you prioritize and you could lose? Because the Bible lets us know there are things of the world that we count as gain.
Yes, yes.
And there are things that we don't put any substance or anything into, and we can lose that from our souls. Lord have mercy. To many, it's a here and now situation. Or maybe you are ones who put away and wait for a rainy day. How many of you realize this morning to explain us that heaven, we should be thinking on heavenly things? For the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4:8, it's heavenly things we should be thinking upon. It should be pure things that we should be thinking about. It should be things that are true that we should be thinking on. Rather than trying to size each other up and to make one another to be what we would have them to be. I don't know about you, but we got enough to focus on. To focus on how somebody else is not doing something. Irregardless to whether it's right or wrong, I don't know about you, but I have come to the place to understand I got enough for me to get myself right, to keep myself in a position where I focus on the goodness of God and not try to find fault in one another. I believe this morning many of us have come to the place in life, well, many of us, and some of us are struggling with how to gain things of the world which don't amount to much. And all that you can gain in this life, the Bible said it will pass away. Now here, I'm not suggesting to you or any of our young people that you should just go through white life and not try to prosper, be gain things of the world, gain things to make you successful in life. But your focus and all of your energy does not go into gaining worldly things. And hopefully as the clarity comes from this word this morning, I want to give you a scenario in the Bible that talks about where this scripture comes in Mark, but we want to focus on the third king of Israel, King Solomon. At the beginning of Solomon's reign, he loved the Lord.
Yes.
And covenant with God that he would walk in obedience throughout his administration as king of Israel. Solomon was promised wisdom, riches, honor, and long life if he would continue in the righteousness before his God. Key thing here, young people and those who haven't struggled, don't start nothing and don't continue it. If you start something in the Lord, continue in it. The Bible lets us know, and we're going to see this throughout the teaching this morning, that the Bible lets us know that in the beginning, Solomon loved the Lord. Love God. In the beginning of a lot of marriage, love was there.
Look out, boy. Look out.
Ha, 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 ha. Love was there. See, many don't understand. I love Tony Evans, and he gave us an illustration one time that there was this couple who were married, and they loved one another, and they really just cherished one another. And the young lady had a cold. And her husband, loving his wife, said, "Dear, oh, I hate to hear you with that cough. What can I do to help you, my sweet thing, to remedy this cough away from you?" But after all of the remedies and all the things that went through, the cough got worse, and time went on. And his tone changed. "You still barking?
Come on,
you still coughing?"
Yeah.
And then as time went on, that she still had to cough. "My gosh, will you do something about that nasty cough?"
Yeah.
But sometimes people don't know how to love each other in difficult times. My father used to say it like this: "It's all right to be sick, but just don't be sick too long." People will show you love from the beginning, but it won't last. How many know love goes a long way? If it's true love. Love goes a long way because Jesus loved us so much. Not only did he die for it, but he's still loving us. And he said, "Love one another." Well, in our scenario this morning, we're going to find out that how things can suddenly change when things begin to come to us. The first thing I'd like to suggest to you, to those who want to understand what we're preaching and teaching about this morning, to start off with, don't continue things again and don't finish them. What if Jesus had started out doing the things he did but didn't finish? Where would that leave you and I? If he said, "Well, I've already raised somebody from the dead. I've already given sight to the blind. I've already fed a multitude of people, but I ain't going to the cross." That's too far. That's a lesson for you and I. I have observed in my 21 years of pastoring how people just start things and quit. You don't even quit your job like that. "I got 3 more years for retirement." And we work diligently until that time has come. But why is it that the things of God, we feel like we can just drop it? As if God doesn't care. The Bible said in all our works, it's unto the Lord. So I like to encourage everybody who's doing something in the name of the Lord, work in his name. Do it in his name. Serve until you can't serve anymore. Don't do it till you feel like you're tired or you're doing it long enough. You do it unto the Lord and say, unto the Lord, say, "It is finished." Well, it's hard preaching in here. But it needs to be heard because the Bible says you don't do that on earth. It said we gain things on the earth. We persevere through difficult times to hold on to things on the earth. But when the things of God, we treat it like trash. Hallelujah. I had to remind a few people this morning once they come to the door. I'd like to see them, glad to see, but we start at 9:30 on godly matters. But you hold into those gainly earthly things you had to do first home. But this is not our home. One day God going to let us know that this thing will pass away. And one day we all got to leave here and go home. Now where your home going to be is how you treat it here when you get ready to leave here. Or what home are you going to? Oh, y'all ain't following me here. See, we got to understand something and keep things in perspective. This is not my permanent place. As much as I fancy this world, much as I do in this world, much as I clothe myself and ride in a nice vehicle and a nice home, this is not my stay. So my diligence is not in here. It's in things to come. And many of us have seen enough now to know that the hearse reels are keeping rolling. And one day they're going to ride us. One day we're going to catch a ride. Come on, somebody. You got to understand something. Your time going to come. Your name is going to be called. One day, hallelujah, one day your name, and some of us got to understand, it may be sooner. Throughout this preaching lesson, we will look to see that God appeared to Solomon three times. Those of you who keep notes and want to follow along with this, remember that, because you might have a trivia or something, you might have vacation Bible study sometime, and you say you didn't know something. But see, if you keep notes of what's happening now, you pick up on some stuff. Three times God appeared to King Solomon. If you would turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, the first chapter, the 7th verse, it said, on that night God appeared to Solomon, and he said to him, ask what shall I give you? Oh, man. This ain't no genie. This is the Lord. This ain't no lottery. It's bigger than the lottery. Oh, y'all ain't following this here. You got to understand, if God appeared to you and asked you, what do you want? Here's Solomon's prayer and request. In the 8th verse, he said, and Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, be established. Whatever you started out with my father with, establish it in me. This is what he's saying. Watch this now. For you have made me king over people like the dust of the earth in multitudes. You got an awesome task for me. But this is what he said. Now give me what? What he said? Give me wisdom and watch this now. That I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours? God had a response to him. But before I get to his response, let's look at what Solomon asked for. He didn't ask for anything for himself. I want you to put this in your mind this morning. God is asking you, what do you want? And first thing many of us would say, good health. Self, fix me. Many of us would ask for a good job. Some of us would just skip job and go straight to money. Let me have the lucky ticket. The one right there in my pocket. Let my numbers come together. Some of us would ask for prosperity, for riches of the land. But Solomon, the Bible, first of all, let us know that he loved God. So first thing Solomon wanted to do is do right by God. And doing right by God, Solomon said, give me wisdom and knowledge to do my calling. How many of us in this room this morning pray and ask God to give us something to do our calling? To be a better servant. To be a better worshiper. To be a better, whatever God has called you to, how many of us have gone to God and say, strengthen me in this? But because Solomon didn't ask for things of himself, God's response was in the 11th verse. Then God said to who? Because it was Solomon praying now. Y'all gonna follow me? Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart. And you have not asked for riches or wealth or honor or life of your enemy, nor have you asked long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. Hallelujah. You got that, Solomon. You got what you asked for. Now, how many know this morning that the Lord will not only give you what you need, but he'll give you the desires? Oh, you ain't following me here. See, your heart got to be right in order to receive things from God. A lot of people want to be blessed, but your heart ain't prepared to receive. Because you want to receive blessings for all the wrong reasons. You want to go out and buy stuff. How many know the Lord can bless you because he wants you to give stuff instead of just buying stuff? He wants you to give stuff instead of making your barns bigger. He wants you to be able to help somebody else along the way. And many people don't have their heart ready to receive the blessings of God. Heart's not ready. And we wonder, Lord, why is everybody getting blessed but me? Examine your heart. How you treat with what you got? What God has already blessed you with. Lord Jesus, this tight stuff in here. The Bible says in the 12th verse again, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches. Now, this is it's not what he asked for. But he said, but I'll give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have it like this. That's God now. In other words, Solomon had it going on. Solomon was fixed if he had kept his mind and his heart right with God. But how many know that God promised something, he's going to keep his promise? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, here's the lesson that you and I got to understand. You can do things with what I promised to God, but God's going to always do his part. God said, I'll never leave you. How many know that you can leave God, but he's still going to be with you? God granted King Solomon his request. Not only did he do what he asked for, but he went beyond. From the heart to serve, from the heart to do the will of God, does this sound like prayer today? To do the will of God and for the heart of God, Lord, I petition to you on behalf. When we come to the altar, we name people. We name things. Now, it has its place, but where is God in this? God, can just help me to do your will. Strengthen me to walk in your ways. What happened to those kind of requests from God? Because you can have all the riches of the land and still on your way to hell. Ain't nobody following me here. The Bible says in Psalms 37 and 3, it said, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, feed on his faithfulness. It says this, delight yourselves also in the Lord, and he shall give you what? Desires of your heart. But you got to delight. You got to be glad to do things in the Lord. Right. You got to want to do things in the Lord. Right. Am I preaching to somebody here? Yes, am I helping anybody understand? It's not about gaining worldly activities. God said, if you seek me first, I'm going to give you stuff. Follow me here now. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all that is righteous. Then he said, all the other things, I'm going to add on to it. I'm going to give you that stuff, but you got to seek me first. That's why all young people don't know how to understand. They just want to go out and get stuff, but don't seek God. Seek God and watch him add on to it. Oh, bless his name. Some old folk ain't got that. I can tell by the reaction here this morning. You ain't got that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It didn't say go to church first and I'll give you stuff. In other words, seek the kingdom of God. In other words, learn the principles of God, learn the ways of God, and live according to God's purpose and watch God do. Watch how God laid out for you. You're not here because it's just Sunday morning. You're here because you know God and you know the principles of God. You know the word of God that said, forsake not the assembly of yourself. You know God said it's good for us to come together. You understand what the word of God is teaching and saying to us, that all scripture is given by word of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly ready to do the work of God. You know these things because you have seen God. Am I boring? I believe this morning that some people don't understand fully the impact that they're showing God, because how much they show the world and how much they show God is such a big difference. It's a huge difference on what people show God and what we do in the world. We even prepare ourselves for activity and purchase things for activity and be excited about activities, but we won't do it before God. Now, I want to read something. This is so powerful to me. Is anybody warm other than me? I'm just, no, don't turn me on. I'll probably get sniffed by it. But listen. The Bible lets us know in 2 Chronicles 9:13. I want you to hear some of the things that Solomon received from God. Now, first of all, what did Solomon do? He prayed. And he made his petition known. He requested from God, and God responded to his request. In 2 Chronicles 9th chapter, I'm reading from, this is from the Message Bible. The translation. I ain't trying to be smooth, y'all. I'm just trying to get a little cool, okay? Trying to cool off. Not cool as in cool. Suave cool. I got that already, you know. 2 Chronicles 9:13 from the Message Bible. It said, Solomon received 20, listen to this now, 25 tons of gold annually. 25 tons. Tons of gold. Now, see, in the other translation, it gives you other words that we can't understand. But in the Message Bible, it said, Solomon received 25 tons of gold annually. This was above and beyond the taxes and the profits on trades with the merchants and traders and from all the other kings and governors and all of them. King Solomon had 200 bodies length of hammered gold. Hammered gold, compressed gold, simply because he had his heart in the right place. God said, listen, God said, I'll give you earthly things. That's nothing. That's nothing for God. But God said, I want to see, examine your heart, where your heart is. Now, I want you to notice some few other things here. It didn't list out the verses, but it also said, if you will follow me on this, it says he had about 15 pounds of gold on each shield, which was 100, and about 300 small shields, about half the size. He stored the shields in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Listen to what the king made thrones of ivory, of ivory with a veneer of gold. Ivory with the veneer of gold. Mean that it was ivory, but it was laced in gold. I ain't talking about no gold plated now. Y'all follow me? I'm talking about the real deal. And what the Bible simply let us know that there was no thrones like this in any other kingdom. Solomon received 25 tons of gold. Not only that, but he's received things that from other kings and other queens would just come and give him and lay them at his feet. How many know when favor is on you? Look out. It just comes from all directions. I know I got a witness in here. When favor is at your feet, how many know God will just bring things to you and you don't know why it's coming your way? But that's the favor of God. And it started out with loving God and requesting and making his request known to the one who's possible. I'm finishing up. The Bible goes on to let us know that in Matthew, in Mark, when it talked about what will it profit a man?
Yes.
If he had all the things Solomon had, but he still had to die. Mm-hmm. What will it profit him to gain all that stuff? What you and I have here on earth, have all the goodness of the land, but loses our soul. Now, I'm going to break this thing up into two other parts because remember I told you, first of all, that God came to him how many times? The first time, this is what happened. God had to come to him on a second time. And when he came to him the second time, there were other things he had discussed with Solomon that he didn't discuss the first time. Why? Because Solomon began to stray away from the Lord. My brothers and sisters, right here in this room this morning, some of us know we're just constantly straying away from God. You used to come to Sunday school. You used to go to Bible study, but you're just straying away. Now, don't get any excuses, because that's all they are in the eyes of God. You make an excuse. God said, I did my part. I kept you alive through this and through that. I ain't got no witnesses in here. God kept you alive through many dangers, seen and unseen.
Yes,
now, Lord, I want to seek your face and be able to understand that you have given me the things I need here on earth, but I got to prepare myself for my departure. Oh, you ain't following me here. Because one day I understand from your word that this too will pass, that heaven and earth will pass away. I understand the whole scenario. That, Lord, this is not my home.
Yeah.
That one day I got to pack up and leave this place. And, Lord, whatever I pack is not from this earth. It's earthly things can't go with me there. One day I'm going to go home to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. And when I get there, I'm going to look back. I'm going to look back and say, Lord, I made it over. Is anybody in this room? Got your mind set on going today that you're going to look back and say, Lord, I made it over. I made it through this storm. I made it through that situation. I made it when they talk about me. And now I'm here with you. What does it profit if he gained the whole world and loses his own soul? Watch this now. And what will a man give in exchange? Simple message. Small kids. We used to shoot marbles.
Yes, sir.
Some of y'all used to shoot marbles. Shoot marbles. You had a cat eye. You had something to trade with. Look at here. I'll give you a cat eye for three of them bums you got. See, some of them don't know that's marble talk. Some people don't know what a bum is. A bum is an oversized marble, a big marble. See, what was a big marble purpose was to go in and bust up some stuff. Y'all ain't following me here. So the big marble, the big bum had value to it, but the cat eye just had looks. So I didn't value a cat eye much because all it could do is look good. So if somebody want a cat eye, I'll give you a cat eye, but you give me three bums. That's the exchange, because I value the bum. Y'all ain't following me here. But now the Bible says right here, it says this, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? How much do you value the things of your soul? Do you exchange another extra hour in bed? I'll give you Sunday school. Just give me another hour in bed. Come on here now. Come. Watch this now. I'll give you $25, but if you just let me get this outfit. Oh, Lord, it's tight in here this morning. What will you exchange for the things of God? I don't know about you, but our souls need to be thirsty to hear from God. Our thorough souls need to be thirsted, be filled with the things of God. Well, all glory, hallelujah. When I was in Sunday school this morning, I knew God was drawing me to something. But when I heard the teaching, I said, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for a word that enlightens me to understand that when I come into your presence, I ain't coming here playing with y'all. I'm coming before a God that created everything. I'm coming in the presence of power above all power. I don't know what you come here to do, but I come to lift up the name of the one who's able to keep me while I'm here. And when I get ready to leave, he's going to usher me into the presence of the Almighty. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Whoa. Here it is. For whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. There's some tough stuff right here, y'all. If you're ashamed to own me and my words, how many of y'all realize that in our society, some people feel like a preacher, the only one know how to pray? Preachers don't know how to pray. Sister Kanisha was in, we went to lunch together Friday at our luncheon. Holiday luncheon. And they had a preacher name on there. And as soon as I walked through the door, I mean, I just came through the door. Oh, Reverend Scott Howard. Now, all before. All before. And I ain't on no title. But all before, I was Mr. Scott or Andrew. I ain't got no problem with either one of them. But this day, because they need somebody to pray. Rem Scott, would you say the prayer for us today? Now, what if I had said no? Just think about that. Can we ask that question this morning? What if the preacher said no, you pray? If you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. God didn't say that preachers the only one can pray. God didn't say that deacons the only one, trustee. God said men, all men should pray. Y'all ain't following me here. So you gotta be, you might not have the words like some people, but you know how to pray. You know how to say, Lord, I thank you for this food. Amen. And if you mean it from your heart, how many know God will receive that? God don't receive. You got plenty of words. God don't want to hear all them words. He want to know what's coming from your heart. And then some people have the audacity, after you pray, I sure enjoyed that prayer. It's not for your listening pleasure. I'm talking to God. Lord, I thank you for this food. I thank you for our time together. I thank you. But now, if you're not having a relationship with him, you don't know how to thank him. I'm about finished. I promise. Look at what God say about this generation of ours. An adulterous. Watch this now. A cheating generation. That's how God sees us. Cheating, not rightfully doing by him, doing right by him. You making off with another God. You enticed by the devil. You're cheating. This adulterous generation. Watch what he said. He said of him, the Son of Man also will be ashamed of him which is in glory, and the Father and his holy angels. Now here's the final point. It will not only be us who stand in the presence of God. It's God and the holy angels will be there. Now, that's significant because now the holy angels are still active in earth today. And it's going into something that maybe you're not ready for. But it's active today. But it's going to join in with us Are y'all following me here? And see, if you follow in the word of God, how many know that even in the beginning, angels came to the creation? Because he said, let us come on here. See, you got to understand. See, and many people just want to know, Lord, as long as I just feel good, you got to have something here. You got to know what you're rejoicing about. You got to know who you're coming in contact with. When the angels come, you want to come along with them. You want to rejoice knowing that I've got seraphims and cherubims that I can rejoice with, because God said, let all of them come in my presence. And how many know the righteous will be right there in the presence of God? Not because you attend church, but because you are righteous and the holiness of God. You ought to come in his presence with what? Singing. You came in here this morning because you wasn't alone. The holy angels came along with us, and they say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Y'all ain't following me here. You are here looking at me, and you ought to be looking to God and saying, God, I thank you. Because I don't want to lose my soul. I don't want to lose my soul. Life as I know it, taking on. It's gone.
Yes.
Things of this world, it's gone. But we're going to talk about next time the preserving of your soul. What that is. How we have to prepare our souls to meet God. Flesh and blood can't see God. But you got to have the right spirit that's in conjunction with your soul. Gaining the world and losing your own soul. Father, we thank you so much. God, we thank you for the